Well, this is Michael Allen Cooper, and you've tuned in to the House of Amazing Grace. It's not by chance, it's by design. So bear with me and let's see what we can explore.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. There's more than amazing grace. Face to face, more than words can ever say. It's more than amazing grace. It's more than running the race. In a world keeping up the pace, it's more than the saving face. It's more than amazing grace. Wash away your pain and misery. Let the living water wash away your sin, set you free. It's more than just a singer. It's more than a song. It's more like a family. And knowing we belong. Let the living water wash away your pain and misery. Let the living water wash away your sin, set you free. Let the living water wash away your pain and misery. Oh, let the wash away your sin and set you free. Wash away your sins, wash away your sin, set you free.
Well, hello again, and it's snowing in Wyoming right now. Big old flakes. I've seen some flakes out here in this part of the country. There's 2 or 3 inches around. Look like they had waves in them. They're just so big that they're floating down like dinner plates. Not quite that big, but you know, a couple inches. They're big flakes. Anyway, God bless you today. Snow is a cool thing because the Bible uses it as a reference that though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I look out on them white little flakes out, chunks of big old giant fields of snow, and everything's white. Very little shows through it. And I'm going to be glad for that day when our sins are white as snow. God has offered us the greatest thing that it could ever offer anybody, anywhere, anytime in the whole universe. And I find that people sort of would rather have a little bit of disdain. Like, oh, yeah, rah, rah, you know, they gripe and complain and moan about it. Like my one pastor friend says, you know, we're just going to heaven. Why pull each other's hair? You know, I mean, we don't need to, we don't need to be mean and mad at each other. Let's build each other up instead of tearing each other down. Let's try to have a little bit of love and compassion for our fellow man. Today, though, really, I wanted to talk mainly about the whole idea of a life of sin. You know, I lived in a life of sin, but I didn't know the difference. I didn't believe in God, so I had no conscience. I didn't have to worry about it. I was even on the verge of really being willing to take a life. It wouldn't have been that big a deal, you know. These people are all hooked up with crime and criminal behavior. And so it's like, well, he screwed up, you know. We're going to have to relieve him of his life, you know. That's the way they look at it. And it's time to let him go into the next world there. We can't trust him. That's going to be a crucial thing in heaven, you know. Can you be trusted? When I decided I'm not going to live a life of sin, and you know, the Lord spoke to my life, and over the last 50 years, I've really come to the place where I refuse to live in sin at all. I don't want any sin in my life. I don't want any evil in my life, from speaking to thinking to doing all that. I don't really want any of it in my life. I want God to look at me and say, wow, you know what? You've really changed. You have really changed your life. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want him to say that to me someday. The only way he's really going to be able to say that to us is if it's true. And so, can he trust you? Will you put away those sinful things in your life, the little things you do or the little things you say or think? Will you actually allow him to squash those like a bug? Not that we should go around squishing bugs. You know, bugs are good. I like bugs. They're pretty cool little things, man. I watch them on TV. They show them all enlarged. And they got really cool eyes and antennas and legs. And they're really pretty interesting when you get into the world of all that. And I'm getting off the subject. The subject to me is this, and it's this way all through life, every day, 24/7. Do I want to just go along, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and do whatever, whenever, however? No, I want my life to be constructive. I want it to be worth something. I want to reach other people in the name of the Lord and say to them, there is hope, there is a better way. You don't have to accept the ways of the world or the enemy. And the enemy has placed thousands and thousands and thousands of little tidbits in the churches and in the people's thinking of the world to get them off track. As long as they're off track, he leaves them alone and just lets them go. But about the minute we try to really put our foot down and say, no, wait a minute, I'm going to change this around. I'm going to live for the Lord. Then all of a sudden, he's really in there whispering in your ear and saying, oh, but what about this? What about that? You're going to miss out. You know, you won't be able to watch TV. TV is like, it's not even interesting. There's nothing good on TV. And so, stuff about animals and bugs. No, but there's really cool wildlife stuff and animal stuff. I love it. But, every day, you get up and you're like focused and you're focusing on your work or got to go here, got to go there, got to do this, got to do that. And all these things are really pressuring us to do them and not take the time to stop and say, now, wait a minute, wait, what's really going on eternally here? Because this life is just a little moment in eternity, and there'll come a day about a zillion years from now, or a million or a billion, or even just a few thousand years from now, you'll look back and say, wow, that was just like a one little moment. We had enough time to make our decision. But once you decide, look out, because the battle begins, and you want to be prepared too. It's a battle going on, and so you got to wear the armor of God. You got to know what the armor of God is. You got to know how to put it on and make sure it fits you. And you should read about that in Thessalonians and Ephesians. Read about it. Just look up, Google up the armor of God, and it'll tell you all about it, and it'll let you know for you what you should do for your armor, because I don't want to wear your armor, and you shouldn't want to wear mine. I met a few people during my Christian walk where I'm like, wow, they have such an awesome aura of godly spirit about them. I want to be like that. I want to have that. But I didn't know how. Well, only the Lord can really lead you into that. And you have to depend on him. You have to dwell with him and, spend time with him, hang out with him, read about him and his word, his truth. You read the Bible incessantly. One of the first things the Lord told me was that I could trust the Bible. He put that Bible together, and he had men of God that were Holy Spirit inspired to write it, and to other men that were inspired to put it all together. It took a lot of years to put all that together, and it took a lot of different authors. And when they put all that together, they realized there's something here that is a Holy Spirit inspired by God, because it's his word. It's his love story. It's his time of saying, this is what happened, and I love you anyway. You are what's happening, and I love you anyway. You fail me, but I love you anyway. You sinned against me, and you've crucified me on the cross, but I love you anyway. He loves you anyway. So, if you've decided that you want to give the Lord a chance, it's not like just give him a chance. Throw it in. Throw your hat in the ring. Jump in, man, with all of it, Don't just stay in the little shallow 2 inches of water. Get out there in the nice clean water. The water's kind of muddied up by the shore, and it's hard to see through it. But if once you get out in the clear water and it's deep, it's like cleaner and it's more buoyant. And your faith wells up because you have to rely on him. You no longer can you rely on walking on the muddy banks and on the shore. You're out there where you've got to rely on him. There could be sharks in that water. There could be there could be giant pockets of methane that bubble up and you sink. Old Peter, he saw Jesus walking on the water one night. He says, well, Lord, if that's you, then have me come out there with you. And he said, well, come on. And so he started walking on the water. He was going out there to Jesus. But then he started seeing all the waves. And, man, you know what? I could sink. And sure enough, he started sinking. And so he cried out, "Help me, Lord." And so the Lord grabbed his hand, pulled him up. I always laugh when I read that story because I picture us. You know, we should be out there walking on the water, not swimming in the deep water. We should be walking on that water. We should be able to take off and get across that lake or ocean, whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, we got the strength. He has the strength. It's not our strength. We rely on his strength and his abilities, his timing, his ideas. None of this is my idea, you know. It's people blame Christians for so much. It's not our fault, you know. Man chose wrong, and now we got all these problems.
I can always tell the difference between the songs that the Lord gave me and the ones I wrote. I can always tell.
Jesus spoke to me one day and said, "Son, look over here." I looked over his way, but I had a lot of fear, and I said, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus spoke to me one day and said, "Son, will you seek my fate?" I walked over his way, and I decided to join the race, and I said, "Jesus, I'm still a sinner, Lord. I'm a lonely man. I'm a sinner and a lonely man. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go.
Christians just decide, well, there's nothing I can do about it. So they cast their faith into the Lord, and they want him. They've chosen that good thing, and that will never be taken away from them. But the church is full of people that will just absolutely talk you out of heaven. So you got to be careful what you listen to. You know, you got to be careful what you read. You don't want to read the trash, all the dime novels and all the sex romance novels. You don't want to watch the soap operas on TV and all the sitcoms. And they're not funny, by the way.
I realized 20, 30 years ago, none of it's funny. They have canned laughter on their shows. They'll, you know, actually record a laughing audience, and then they'll play that. Like, oh, they all laughed, so it must be funny. So you start listening a little more intently. It ain't funny. They make jokes and talk about people and things and situations. They actually make fun of God, literally, and his precepts and his ideas, his laws, his rules. They make fun of that. Like, oh, you should be made fun of because you believe that. How could you believe such an ancient thing? You know, that was just tribal, you know, things that the Neanderthals believed. It lightninged, so they believed that was God. Or the sun was up one day and had an eclipse, and so, oh my, the gods are angry, you know. Come on, man. Man is so idiotic. We only use a little small percentage of our brain, 7 or 8%. Imagine if we get 100% usage and eternal life. Well, we won't be believing all the hooey, you know. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You don't have to sink down into the mully grubs and stay there. You can walk up out of there, but you got to do it on your own. Nobody's going to pull you out, you know, permanently. Somebody may pull you out and talk to you and get you set straight a little bit, and all of a sudden you realize, and so you start a new path. But watch out, because if you don't pay attention, you just wind up off the path again and off in the mud. You know? So like driving your vehicle to heaven, you know, you don't want to get stuck off in the mud puddle. There are a lot of people just pass you by. They don't care about you. They don't want you. They don't really want you there anyway, because they know they're not going. So why would we help you go? You know, I think a lot of people really have the idea of, well, if we all go to hell, then God will have to grade us on a curve, and he'll have to, you know, change his mind about that. He'll have to pull us all into heaven. Well, that's not true. God doesn't go back on his word. You can read from Genesis to Revelations 100 times over, and you'll find out that he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, which eternity yesterday, and he's the same today, and he will be the same forever and ever and ever. He doesn't change his mind and say, oh, you know, by the way, I've been thinking about that, and you're just not a good fit. He don't do that. He's not like people. People will change their mind. And Solomon said this. He said, familiarity breeds contempt. People get so familiar with other people that it's like, you know, I don't even like them. Well, that's because we don't like human nature. None of us like bad human nature, but we're all stuck with it. And so we have to forgive and forget for each other all the time on this earth. You know, a lot of people wrong you, so what? Forgive them. Forget about it. Go on. Keep going. You know, lift them up. Love them anyway. He does. Lord loves them anyway. He loved you, and you weren't being good, and you weren't being okay. You weren't righteous. You were a sinner. You still are. We're all still sinners. We don't always mean. I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin ever again, not even one little sin. But inevitably, it happens on earth, and it's like, oh, jeez, I shouldn't have said that, or shouldn't have even thought that, or shouldn't have looked at that more than about a second, you know. It's just things that we shouldn't look at. Well, I love you today, and I want to share more music today. So there's going to be 3 or 4 songs today, and I want you to listen to some of the words, and I want you to hear some good down-home music today. So God bless you. God be with you. And remember, you don't have to accept the standards of the world or other people or the enemy. You can walk in the Lord
Have him like a robe around you. Put his robe of righteousness on you and allow him to forgive you and love on you and walk with you today and stay in his presence. Pray for all of us. In the name of Jesus, amen.